Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So I just graduated university and I was making about $4,000 a month from music. I literally walked across the stage the day I dropped La La La. Immediately skyrocketed.
Wait, how did life change?
I definitely thought I was right more. When everyone is just like, holy shit, this song is huge. You snack. All blowing smoke up your ass. What happens is it inflates your ego. I thought that like every single creative direction I had on things was right solely because of like everything that I was doing at the time was so algorithmically right. like just
in your favor,
in my favor, that I was like, I'm doing everything right. In actuality, it was just solely based off the internet just working in my favor.
Would you ever a fan
if they're there and like wearing merch? Hell no. I ended up hooking up with this one girl from Toronto one time. I ended up flying her down to Vegas. It was good. And then I was like rehearsing to do like this small little set, and she knew every lyric, and I was like, and she was like singing, and I was like, and my homie Antonio was there, and he looks at me and he's like,
oof. I talk about this a lot with my musician friends. A lot of the music that blows up sometimes now, it's like, it's not good musicians anymore, it's good content creators.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, are you able to get this viral? Are you able to promote it? Are you able to like use Reels and TikTok and whatever?
So it's interesting because you see all these like ginormous songs on TikTok with like millions of videos, but they're not big songs. Edamame, it is a big song, but Yesterday was the number one trending song in North America on Reels, and it did 100,000 Reels in one singular day out of nowhere. Is it helping my career? Not at all. I literally went down in streams.
It doesn't carry over?
That makes sense. See, that's what you would assume.
Why baby no money though?
Because he's a baby with no money.
I will not spend my money. Like, me buying this watch yesterday was, like, ridiculous. Like, very outrageous. I told all my friends, and they're like, dude, you've changed. You switched up, bro.
Yeah, you Hollywood now.
Yeah, you Hollywood, bro. Oh. Don't even come home. Don't even bother. But also, so my DJ, his name is Dan. I was a part of a group called Broke Boy Gang beforehand, and my name is Baby Freestyle, and it didn't fit in the back of the jersey that we were making for our first show.
It was too long.
Yeah, it was too long, so he just shortened it to BBNO dollar sign, and then I just read it out loud. I'm like, Baby No Money. It just sounds really catchy. And then I just kind of ran with that when I went away to university, and I stopped making music with all the boys because it was also just like not really working, so none of the boys had any inclination to do it anymore, so just did my own thing and called myself Baby No Money. Yeah.
Hey, we here with Baby No Money today.
What's up, family?
AKA Alex. You guys might have seen him from the, or might have heard such bangers as La La La.
Dude, your hair is perfect. It's like,
oh, thank you.
It's like a serving plate. Just like, yeah, it has a little lip. You can like pour like the soup on top.
You know, a little ramen noodle. Yeah. You know. But no, let's give a quick introduction. Where have they seen you from? Where do they know you from?
I make music. I play video games. I do funny things online, kind of. And I made a song with Rich Brian. I made one of the biggest songs of 2019. I make music with Young Gravy, and dope. I love my mom.
That's what's up. And you invited me into your show last week. And I'm not going to lie, the first time I met you, bro, it was such a, like, I was like, oh, shit, we're about to go backstage. I'm looking at the crowd of people. And then you just, the introduction you gave, was it just made me feel, like, real comforting. Oh, it was, like, chill. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like, in that setting, I was like, oh, shit, you know, he's performing. He might, I don't know, maybe a little standoffish, maybe a little.
Well, you guys also didn't show up before my set. Before my set, I mean, not only did you miss my set. No.
Yeah, it's true. Wait, I have beef on this. Oh, I'm going to. So Alice's show was at 7:30 p.m. Okay. So I text Jimmy. I'm like, hey, I think he's going to come on at like 8:00. So I'll come over to your place like 6:45 because we're all riding together. So I get to Jimmy's place 6:45 on the dot. I'm ready to go. Jimmy, like, gets out of the gym in his tank top.
Hold on.
He takes a 20-minute shower. Then he comes out. And then he does his hair. He does, like, 30 minutes later, he comes out. It's, like, 7:15. And then he's like, I'm hungry. Let's go get dinner. And I'm like, what the f***? And mind you, the show is an hour and a half away. I'm not done, Jimmy. Don't interrupt me. But we get to Alex's show at 9:30 p.m. It started at 7:30. We got there at 9:30 p.m.
Y'all did get there late, for sure.
Alex, this is like his only show in LA that I get to see from him. And we did not get to see him perform. Yes, Jimmy, you wanted to speak.
Well, okay. So, for the record, when I hear a 7:30 show, I'm just going to assume that there's, you know, there's openers, there's, you know.
Yeah, he is the opener.
There is no real opener in our set. I mean, there's more of a closer because Matt closes.
Right.
But it's just like I perform and then we perform and then I get off and just go sip tea.
Yeah. So. And I'm thinking like the shows that I go to, EDM shows, like they start at like 10, right? The doors open. When I hear doors open, I'm like, okay, doors open.
It's for a country and fair, then, though, or like county fair.
Which I didn't know. I thought it was a show. That was gonna last all night, so I was like, respectfully, I took my time, and
it's all good, man.
I realized, like, oh shit,
I only cried like a couple times.
Oh yeah,
yeah, just a couple times.
But anyways, to Jimmy's point, that was like one of my favorite things about you is that you're just such a homie. Like, you're so chill. Like the first time we hung out, do you remember? Like, I picked you up in the middle of like the street in Hollywood, and then we went to a grocery store, like got chips, ate in the car, and then got tea. And it's just like so chill and wholesome. And it's like you don't have an ego on you, like legitimately. Like you're obviously cool and talented, but you're just a homie. And it's like, it's so nice hanging out with you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. It's kind of hard taking compliments, honestly. So it's just kind of awkward.
Thank you.
But I appreciate that. I mean, like the one thing that I've always really been interested in is like how and why does being in, especially in music, like the pedestal that people get put on for being musicians. Right. It's like, how does it affect people? I don't understand. Like, if anything, like, right. You're more closed off. So in reality, like, you shouldn't actually have an ego. But
right.
So
if anything, it could make you more lonely if you're super closed off.
Oh, definitely. But I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of people have egos in music because it is really easy to get an ego, for sure. Yeah. I just, like, nothing has changed in my life. I'm financially way more stable, and I still live at home with my parents. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm never home, so... But when I'm home, I get to chill with my mom and dad and see my little nephew. So,
what do you think inflates musicians' egos when they first like?
I think like probably like everyone weighs like attraction of the opposite sex, probably like one of the most deeming validation factors.
Yeah.
So I would say probably that. Like, I mean, like I went from being a university student being weird because I was making music to girls DMing me because I make music. So the fundamental shift of like this weird, like almost superiority for no fucking reason, just right. because I say jibber jabber on a song and like it gets popular. So, yeah. Ever since social media, this has been more of like a leading factor of probably egos. And like,
right.
you also just get validated online by like posting a fucking photo.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do people interact with my stuff? I don't know. It's because I'm funny, perhaps, but why? In actuality, like, why does this matter? It doesn't, but it's cool because, like, I have a career and I'm really happy and I'm blessed, but it's like, dude, I could speak for days on the sociology or the effect of psychology of, like, how people interact with things online and how it's unhealthy and whatnot. Just from my experience with doing what I do, it's just like, it's a lot.
And you gain exposure so, like, super quickly, right?
No, not really. I mean, it took me years to get to
the hit.
Well, I mean, to now.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Obviously, when I had La La La, like, I think that was like about 2015 of October is when I made my first song. It took me practically 4 years to get to a point of having like a global hit, which honestly, like, it shouldn't have happened anyway, but God bless it did.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean it shouldn't have? Like, you didn't expect it to blow up.
I mean, no one. Okay. If you're a musician, like, you should never expect to have a song that big. You should just make music for fun. My perspective was like, I remember I told myself I would buy a bunch of blow for the boys and we'd go partying all night if I ever had a song that hit 10,000 views.
Did you?
No. Because I was like, okay, I attained that. What's the next thing? And then it was 100,000 views. I'll buy Moncler jackets for the whole gang. Didn't do that either. And then I told myself, as soon as I ever get my first gold record, I would buy my first apartment. I did that, but then I sold it. But it's just like every single time I like keep on making like these weird like bullshit goals that keep on happening, it's just like you know, I just strive for more, and it's like right. nothing's fulfilling almost. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like the human, like, do you guys have like really small nephews or babies or like in your family?
No.
So when you watch a baby interact with its world, all it wants to do is entertain itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That never stops. Mm-hmm. So when I do a show, like you guys saw, in front of 3,000 people, I'm, you know, fake jacking my like, that's just normal life for me. So I need, now rather than having 3,000, I need 30,000.
It just never stops.
It just never stops. Mm. So it's interesting because I've definitely been have to like level myself sometimes. I'm like, hey, like this is, my life is ridiculous. Totally. Yeah. And I'm so unbelievably grateful to be the position I'm in. Mm-hmm. But it's like weird. Mm-hmm. It's like being conditioned with like mm-hmm. My adrenal glands like firing 24/7.
Right. So.
Damn, that's crazy. I mean, I think about this a lot, even with like content creation and views, it's all the same, right? It's
also,
like,
yeah, when you have a crazy post, you're like, I need it. It's funny. Yeah, it's like inject that viral yes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yes, all the likes, all the comments.
But
thank you.
Mm-hmm. But I, you know, people may say that that's not the case, but a 1,000,000,000%, like, you know, people all have the exact same perspective on things. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know why? It's just because we're all human. It's all the same thing.
When you said you didn't expect it to blow up, but when it did, right, was did that, like, how much did it launch you?
Today's podcast was sponsored by Factor. With the fall season already in full swing, you might be looking for a wholesome, convenient meals for your jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. With Factor, you could skip extra step to the grocery store of the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning. Skip all that by getting Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals. They're ready to cook in just 2 minutes. And all you have to do is just heat them up and enjoy. You know, it's like this. With my days being so packed with filming and editing, I think Factor is, it saves me a lot of time. And you could choose from over 34 weekly flavor-packed, fresh, never-frozen meals. Need an extra boost to support your wellness goals? Feel your best as you tackle a busy autumn. And try our Protein Plus meals with over 30 grams of protein. And you could also round out your meals and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45 different add-ons, including breakfast items, bacon, egg, and cheese bites, bacon, egg, breakfast skillet. And you could also get freshly pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. So this September, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simple, choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals. Head to factormeals.com/downbadshow50 and use downbadshow50 to get 50% off. That's code downbadshow50 at factormeals.com/downbadshow50 to get 50% off.
I was so I just graduated university and I was making about $4,000 a month from music. So
you do music full time?
Yeah, but I literally walked across the stage the day I dropped blah blah blah. So that day, I remember I was like super wasted celebrating. And my really good friend, Ethan, was like, yo, like he pretty much carried me through university. He was like, yo, how much are you making for this shit? Dude, I'm like making like $4,200 a month. It's crazy. He's like, well, that's fucking insane. Yeah. And at that moment, I was like, I can do this. Like, that's a wage. That's like totally safe. Like, I'll just do this. I'm not going to go get a job for the summer. And then I dropped La 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 and it like just immediately skyrocketed everything. Yeah.
Wait, how did life change?
I definitely thought I was right more.
Okay.
Because when everyone is just like, holy shit, this song is huge. This song is, you snapped. Keep going, blah, blah, blah. Like all blowing smoke up your ass. What happens is it inflates your ego.
Right.
I don't think I like lost ego to be, you know, become an asshole to people. But I thought that like every single creative direction and perspective I had on things was right solely because of like everything that I was doing at the time was so algorithmically right. like just
in your favor,
in my favor, that I was like, I'm doing everything right. But in actuality, it was just solely based off the internet just working in my favor.
Yeah.
So through doing that for like 4 or 5, 6 months, it's like, you know, it felt like I was ready for it because I've been working my ass off for so long.
Yeah.
And if that happened before, I would have worked my ass off for so long, I definitely would not have known what to do. But the one thing that I was not prepared for is like being slapped with like reality afterwards. Cause like the song was doing 4 million streams a day. The only time I've ever had a song do even remotely as close was like 1.6 on Edamame one day.
Right.
So at its peak, it was doing 2 times the amount of streams than my other biggest song.
Yeah.
And the next biggest song, I think I peaked at like probably like 600,000 streams in it one day. So it's like not even comparable in the slightest. Yeah. So it was just like managing my expectations kind of thing.
What was the bag like? You went from 4 to...
It definitely was a lot. I remember my dad being like, what? And like even my mom, my brother.
Yeah.
My brother and I have a weird relationship. I was homeschooled, so he was always like the bigger bro energy. Yeah. But I remember he called me one day and he was like, you snapped. Like you went crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And that was a really cool feeling. And you know, even from just like doing music like so religiously and like just like sticking to it, like I feel like my relationship with my brother is just like evolved into something so much more beautiful. Because he's a like one of the most talented photographers I personally know. And he
the whole family is like a artistic.
My sister is the least artistic person in the world. She's just a genius and is doing her PhD in like family psychology.
Okay.
But yeah, no art. Zero art.
Sure. Zero. But still hardworking and hard successful working. Nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My parents went crazy on us for sure. but yeah, I don't know. The bag was good. I signed the song with Y2K to Columbia and I mean, got a life-changing amount of money just from one singular record.
Right. Wow.
So I immediately put that on a down payment on an apartment.
But that you sold later on.
I just sold it recently. I sold it in the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And I made like a couple $1,000 on it. It was good.
Sure. So you knew to invest that money right away.
Right away, yeah.
This is random, but do you feel like that's a Canadian thing? Like wanting to save money? Because I feel like a lot of Canadians I know like just don't spend a lot. Like they're not like...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely know a lot of people that spend a ton, at least Canadian people, but I just grew up in a family where it was like, I kind of had everything I needed. But are you guys cheap?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is, I mean, it's ingrained in all Chinese people. I think from birth to just save money. I think I had to like unlearn that.
Mm-hmm.
So around like 2018, 2019 is when I started making some money off of YouTube. And then like I was like Uber pulling my girlfriend from the club.
Wow. Boss up.
Now Grant, now mind you,
boss down.
Now mind you, we was like, no, it was not balls up, because mind you, I was like we were doing like phone sex, right? And the next thing you know, the driver stops, and then a person comes in, opens the door. I just hear, "You ordered a fucking Uber pool?"
That's crazy.
And I'm like, oh shit. And you know, it sometimes the Uber pool is like you leave it up to chance. Sometimes they don't pick anybody else up.
Wait, so and this is to take her to your place?
Yeah. Oh, after the club. God. Yeah. So I would.
that's kind of hard. Honestly, I like Uber pooling.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
It's interesting because you can meet cool people and have like cool
conversations.
To be fair though, I've had like every single Uber that I've taken in the past like 4 days, the driver has been sparking crazy conversation, like nonstop, like aggressive conversation. I'm like, dude, this is like, do I look that inviting to have like a really like open conversation about politics that I'm Canadian? I just get mansplained by a bunch of men telling me about American politics that I truthfully don't really care too much about. Yeah. But I mean, it affects Canada, I guess.
Yeah, no, I don't spend money, but I think it's because I grew up really poor, right? Like straight up didn't have money. Like if you're hungry, like you're hungry. You sleep for dinner. So I got used to not spending money, and then I mean all through college too. It's like my parents don't work, so all my money goes to them. So even the money I make, and now I'm unemployed, so that's a whole other thing. But the money I was making, it just felt like it was never my money. It just felt like my family's money.
That makes sense.
So I didn't feel like I had a right to like use it.
Yeah, totally.
Until like my parents, like I don't know, are housed.
Yeah, my parents were definitely pretty fortunate to live in like under a house, and you know, like we had loving family. My dad worked like 80-hour weeks to support the family, so he's kind of a workaholic, and I kind of like, you know.
Are you like that too?
Definitely. I see a lot of myself in my dad, unfortunately. A lot of the anxiety as well. But look, yeah, you can only win so many battles, right?
Really? Do you think you have like social anxiety? What kind
of? No, not social anxiety. I'm definitely just an introvert, but I'm an extroverted person because I have to be. But I'm an introvert.
Yeah. Do you feel like you struggle with like mental health at all? Like, especially as a musician, do you feel like it's made it harder to like be mentally stable?
That's a deep ass question. I don't think he was ready for that.
We're talking about anxiety.
No, I'm totally good. I love being open about my mental health. I think it's pretty important. You know, I'm not perfect. No one is. But I think that like the lack of sleep that I get really leads to my
from touring.
Just I just think too much about things. Uh-huh. Just like I'm constantly working essentially in my brain. So it's like, oh, what can I do next? Like, it's not like, oh, I'm making songs in my brain. It's literally just like, how can I, improve my career? So I'm always thinking about like what I can do next. Yada yada yada. Lack of sleep because of touring. Touring is also just like very abrasive on your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nearly
just jacking off on stage all the time.
Yeah, a lot of jerking. Aggressive. Like my shoulder hurts because of it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm fortunate to be in the position where I can pay for therapy. And I've learned a lot about myself through doing that. But yeah, I mean, some days are difficult. Yeah.
You feel like you have to also like constantly chase the high.
I'm a numbers guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like parabolic graphs. I don't like descending graphs. And
nobody likes descending
graphs. Nobody likes that. It's actually like heavy. But I also recently have been really just tapping into the, I don't give that much of a fuck anymore about anything. Right. And I'm trying to go back to the reasons of why I started doing this is just because the love of making music.
Yeah.
And this week I made like 5 or 6 songs. So I've just been like in the studio just doing kind of what I like to do and like just forcing producers to shut up. And I'm just like, fucking record me.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it's good. So I'm really happy to do that. And I just need to do that because that's kind of like the purpose of being a musician. You know, I want to become less of this influencer guy and more of a just a musician and like have less of a desire to be like in front of people's eyes and just be in people's ears, if that makes sense. So but through doing that, I think the only issue is like you have to be online all the time and it's like very difficult to separate myself from my business. And I don't think I have like personality disorder, but I definitely am drawn thin all the time.
No, it's really an interesting phenomenon, especially with TikTok. But I talk about this a lot with my musician friends, but like a lot of the music that blows up sometimes now, it's like, it's not good musicians anymore. It's good content creators.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, are you able to get this viral? Are you able to promote it? Are you able to like use Reels and TikTok and whatever?
So it's interesting because you see all these like ginormous songs or on TikTok with like millions of videos, but they're not big songs. No one cares about the song. They just care about the content being made.
Right.
Like, for instance, Edamame, it is a big song, but yesterday was the number one trending song in North America on Reels, and it did 100,000 Reels in one singular day out of nowhere, just literally out of fucking nowhere. And I'm like, cool. Is it helping my career? Not at all. I literally went down in streams that day. So
it doesn't carry over? Like, how does that make
sense?
See,
that's what you would assume, but I guess people just associate that song with, oh, that song blew up like a year and a half ago. I need something new. Because you hyper expose everyone to all these songs. If there's one video with like 75 million views, there's probably like 60 million people, because there's probably a couple of people rewatching it, but there's probably 60 million people that just saw that song and they know it. And they probably, if they don't like it, it's gone. They don't need to hear it ever again. And like, they won't even like try to hear it or like try to go search it up because that's what they know in the song. And they don't like it. So I don't know.
Hey, now you mentioned that. I remember you telling me that some of your songs went viral in China.
Yeah.
How that happened? And that carried over to real weight, you know,
real physical.
Like, to a big like Chinese audience. Yeah, to the big point Chinese where audience. You went out there.
Dude, I have this. Where's my phone? This after video they just sent me. This shit's crazy. Wait. I don't need it this long. But like, look at these audiences. They're fucking huge, dude. God damn it. Yeah, I don't have my beanie on.
Right.
And this girl came up on stage and stole it and then just ran out of the venue. And then I just ran out of the venue.
Chasing?
Yeah, I was like, dude, I was like, there's no way someone's stealing this shit right now. That's crazy. And I went up to her and I grabbed it out of her hand. I was like, that's mine. And she started crying. I was like, oh, you brought this on yourself. And
crazy. She stole your shit and started crying? That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Damn.
But it's nuts. My fans out there are like, So when I went outside,
I didn't even know Chinese people go that hard for music out there.
Dude, like, if they like music, they really ride. Mm. Like it's no joke. Like
saying the lyrics too? Are they
like the hooks? Okay, like the part that is like popular. 100%. Yeah.
I feel like when you start rapping fast, you get a bunch of looks back at you. Like,
do you feel like you have a lot of like parasocial fans? Like, have people ever been like creepy or like try to stalk you or anything that's like out of line?
There was this person recently that she sent something to my parents' house, and I have no idea how she got my information.
That's creepy as fuck.
Yeah. But then I realized, I met her in Milwaukee, and she has like a kid, two kids, and like the kids are like,
oh, this was a love interest.
No.
Oh.
She had two kids, and she was just like at the show, and these kids were literally seeing my lyrics, and they were like 4 years old. And it's like this little kid has like, bitch, do the math, like on his t-shirt. And he's like, bitch, do the math, dude. A really cute kid. Yeah. But the mom comes up to me, and she's like, did you get the gift? And I was like, oh, it was you. And I was like, yeah. And then she's like, well, you should probably change your information online because it's out there. And I'm like, what? How did you snapped? So she figured it out. And I changed it, but it was just like, how?
It was leaked where?
No.
I don't know.
It's actually frightening. It's actually very common that your information is just on yellow pages. Like, data brokers just sell your information, and people can find it online. Like, if they know, like, your name.
Right.
Don't do this, please. You should do, like, there are, like, services like Delete Me. That's what I use to, like, delete all my shit. Yeah. But, like, if someone searches your name and you're, like, zip code or like your birthday, if they know those things, they can find your address like easily because your name is usually registered to like where you're living.
Sure. I don't think I'm on that level yet. Soon enough. I think you have to be on a certain level where they're looking up your address. I think you got one. Yeah. Is in all fairness,
this is useful for anyone though. Like, if you have a crazy ex, like get your info off online, like you never
know. Right,
you guys have crazy exes?
No. I'm the crazy.
Yeah, she's the crazy one.
No, I'm just kidding. We don't talk. We just never.
What about you? Do you have any crazy exes?
Everyone's got a little bit of this.
One. Yeah. Two? Couple? How many relationships have you been in?
I've been in... Okay, what constitutes a relationship?
Like a solid year. Like a solid...
A year? Okay, let's get like 6 months.
No, I just think if you called yourself like girlfriend board, like you made it official and committed.
One, two, three.
Now, how old are you right now?
I'm 28.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I definitely had a portion of my life where I was no girls. Mm. It was like
last year.
No, pretty much. My girlfriend in high school, or like right after high school, like destroyed me. And then I was like, hey, fuck it, no girls until I make money.
Right.
And
nothing new.
It worked.
Yeah.
It legitimately worked. Like,
so how, like, what was that stretch?
It was like 5 years.
Of no girls?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, there was one full year that I had. It was 500 days of no hooking up with anyone.
Yeah.
And then my whole university career or degree, there was one girl, two girls that I like kissed. So over like 4 years, pretty much.
Wow.
Because it was just like, I wasn't even interested.
Yeah.
I had sex with that girl.
Did you do some like confessions back then?
Of what?
Of like, oh, hey, I like you. Then runs away. or not even that forward, but just, you know, you're flirting and maybe it wasn't being reciprocated.
Oh, I've definitely done that. I mean, like.
But then after you blew up, they come back around.
No. There was this one girl. After it was like right before COVID hit, I ended up like hooking up with her, and she was like, Alex, like I've loved you my whole life. And I'm like whilst hooking up with her. It was kind of dope, but I also was like, holy shit, is this real right now? Because I was like, I thought she hated me in high school the whole time. Mm-hmm. And that was epic, I guess.
Oh, you like me epic.
But there was this one girl that I told, like, I definitely entered the whole high school And I told her right as we were graduating, I was like, yo, I've been obsessed with you for like 5 years. Oh, and I was like, I had to get it off my chest.
Yeah.
She kind of like came in for the kiss, I think. And then I had to curve because I was like, there's too many emotions going on in my body right now.
You curved?
Look, man, it was a fumble.
Oh.
Zero riz back then for sure.
Wait, have you ever fucked an ex?
Hey, man, this is a safe space because I do it all the time.
I'm trying to think.
Wait, what?
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. have I fucked an ex? I don't think so. Not yet, but there. I
it feels great. Amazing.
Really?
I said too much.
I definitely wouldn't say no. What constitutes
right?
Like an ex?
Why would you turn down? Like, why would you turn down?
I mean, it's years? Not turning down, but I mean, like, would you go like try to get back with your ex?
Go out of my way?
I wouldn't.
Or not get back, but fuck them. Like, I want to. Her again.
I don't think there would be like a thing where I'd be like, I want to have sex with you to like to esteem my like feelings, hatred,
right?
Or like feelings. But it would be more like,
I feel like, sure. After the breakup, like I just it's on their court if they want to have sex.
So they reached out to you.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I feel like usually that's the case.
Wow.
I don't think I would go out of my way. I mean, depends on how amicably it ended, for sure. My most recent relationship, I was just like out and about after I broke up with her like a month later. I was in Vancouver. I was out with my sister and she was just like, she kind of like saw me at this place and came up to me and gave me a drink. And I was just like, I was trying to low-key avoid her. But unfortunately, that just didn't really happen. And then she gave me a drink and I said, hi, like, how are you doing? And pretty sure she reached out afterwards. I think, I don't know necessarily her intentions, but that was kind of the vibe she gave.
But you didn't take the offer. You...
No.
Strong man. Yeah. I would have taken it. The fuck? To be clear, I've never fucked an ex.
Yeah. This is why we.
This is why the podcast is the podcast.
I've never fucked an ex, but I've heard from this guy that it's really good sex, and now I'm like,
oh, it's amazing. Oh, all those feelings come rushing back.
I mean, I feel like it would be good sex because it's like kind of anger and like frustration, and then you know what's
reminiscent.
Yeah, you know what's comfortable with the person.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just not worth the turmoil.
Valid.
Yeah.
You're smarter than me.
I don't know if I'm smarter. I just feel like I just don't want to waste my time.
Fair. Well, I think that's smart.
Well,
fair.
True.
But you know,
But I would also like love to be an idiot.
Right.
Yeah.
Be a little stupid.
Yeah, be stupid.
Do you feel like meeting girls now... It's easier, but do you do most of the sliding or do you look at your DMs and like, oh, you're coming. You go into the generals.
Honestly, today I was checking my DMs because usually there is like business related stuff in it. But I was checking my DMs today and this girl has like 75,000 followers. I was like, oh, it's like a girl with 75,000 followers.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, you're coming to Oshiega in Montreal. And when I profiled, I'm like,
I would.
Yeah. And then I sent her a picture of my friend's dog, and I was like, what you think?
Your lines are so funny to me.
Because it's like, okay, but the thing is like, I wouldn't want to hang out with that person if she didn't reply to that. Because that's when I know, like, she's silly.
Yeah.
Because if she's silly, then we'll have a better time together. Mm.
Yeah.
So
I would rather test out the silliness.
Oh, I gotta test the silliness because I'm silly.
Yeah. Wait. Can I put you on the spot for a little bit? I want to talk about how we met because you slid in my Twitter DMs, right?
Yeah.
And I actually remember because I looked it up recently. I was like, yeah, how did we start talking? And you just sent me your tweets are really funny, which I appreciate, by the way. That was very
also cool. It was a genuine compliment.
I was like chilling. I was chilling on Twitter and I was playing World of Warcraft with my friend Antonio. And we were just like, I was just like, yo, look at these girls' tweets. She's like tweaking. Like she's absolutely losing her fucking mind. And he's like, damn, bro, she's wilding. And I was like, yo, she's funny. And like, that was kind of it.
Okay, but I want to ask though that when you like DM me, was it like platonic or was there like...
I want to break day 45 of celibacy.
What was the intention there? Was it like, you know?
I don't know specifically. I like don't totally remember at all. But I sometimes I just message people if like I can see myself being funny with that person, and it's just like,
yeah,
that's kind of it.
That makes sense.
Okay. So I was on call with him, and he was like, "Yo, DM her," and I was like, "All right." So I DM'd her, and I'm like, "Yo," she replied, and he's like, "You're on, bro," and that was kind of it. So like, you know, if you get a reply from someone, you're pretty much in.
That's where the work actually starts.
At least for me, because when I get a reply, I'm already sending them like moron level game.
Yeah,
moron level
game. Like just like that's why I sent a picture of a dog. What do you think?
No, we actually had really good banter because I remember I was like, oh, thank you or something like that, and then you were like, yeah, they're super relatable or something like that, and I was like, oh, do you suck dick too? And then you were like, yeah, all the time. Then you sent me a photo of you being like goofy, like something weird or something like that, and then I sent one back.
Just like I like this. Fully erect.
I'm about to suck this dick.
Or just like a portrait shot of me just like rolling down.
But it was like instant friendship to me. Yeah. I know. Nice. I know. Then we friend zoned each other. First time we hung out, we sat in the car talking about both of our situationships at the time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a surefire way to friend zone someone.
Yeah. No doubt.
I don't think DM slides. I never really do DM slides, ever.
What do you do?
Just in person, in person sliding.
I'm never in person anywhere, so that's my issue.
Well, I mean, but no, you're with like tons of people. You're touring all the time. You don't ever pull a girl like on stage like. Come here.
Yeah, but that's a fan. That's different than like someone you found attractive and you bring them.
Oh no, you could look at the crowd like, oh, she bad. No,
there's only been so few times where, sometimes you know when you can like put up a Snapchat and then like put some shit.
Yeah.
And hold it up.
Right.
Dude, there was this one time, I don't know where I was. I think it was in like it was some part of Canada, and this girl was holding it up. And it was just like,
eat my pussy.
No, it was literally. It was literally, you know, you wanna. And then I looked at it and I looked at her. And I was like, damn, okay.
Oh.
And then I just remember like walking up to like her side of the stage area and I just saw that and I just completely lost train of thought. And I just like, I was like, oh. And then I turned around to my DJ and I was like, oh. And I just like completely stopped rapping. And it was like the worst performance, like vocally, the whole
set. She threw you off.
She threw my shit off big time. And then immediately I get off stage and I'm like checking my DMs and shit. But
oh shit.
But yeah, it was dope.
Damn, that's down such bad. Down bad.
Would you ever fuck a fan? Is that like a turn on or a turn off if someone's like
if they bad, of course
you would. No, not really. No. I like if they're there and like wearing merch, hell no. Like they have to be like
if they are diehard, yeah.
They have to be like I like your music.
Listener.
I ended up hooking up with this one girl from Toronto one time. And I didn't think that she was like a fan, and I did this like Street Rewards type thing, and I mean this is pretty obvious who it is, but I ended up flying her down to Vegas during the Streamer Awards or whatever. No, it was esports gaming award. I don't know what the fuck it was. I can't remember. Performed there, flew her down because I had an extra like free flight, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And it was good. And then I was like rehearsing to do like this small little set, and she knew every lyric, and I was like. And she was like singing, and I was like, and my homie Antonio was there, and he looks at me, and he's like, oof. And like nothing against her, like God bless her,
right?
Of course, super sweet lady. I was just like, that's just
you too. Into
you just
this.
Don't do that. You don't do that. Like it's like if someone's a poet and is like a super diehard, like the trees, the bushes, the winds, the fires, like. If someone is like obsessed with that poetry and like goes up to the
person
and is like the trees, the wind, and like whispering in your ear while you're getting laid, like no.
Oh my God, someone like rehearsing my tweets to me, but, like word for word.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like.
You're giving off an obsession feeling. And
well, I don't know lyrics to any of your songs, so we
can that's dope.
Still. When I
this is dude, this is the best dance ever. When is this?
This is the whip.
Branch? The whip. The whip.
Watch me whip. Watch me name. Yeah.
So good. Oh man.
When I popped off.
Yeah. I popped off.
Popped off.
Are those lyrics when I popped off?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And then popped off became like common terminology.
Really? It wasn't a thing before?
It was, but it wasn't nearly as popular. And then Fortnite really popular. Oh, I popped off, bro. You're popping off right now. Fortnite.
Wow, you've trailblazed the term.
Dude, La 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 was a huge thing for Fortnite.
Oh, shit.
Like most Fortnite, like 12-year-old gamer kids that started uploading videos on YouTube all like had a career birth from just using La 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 in their montage. I used to get like tons of messages being like, yo, you changed my life. Like your song like blew my video up. And I'm like, all
right. Because it's a fucking less. Drop, right?
Say less, gamers. Yeah, it's like when I popped. And yeah. You know, it's like the screen shakes with that Victory Royale.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fortnite's so funny, man. I've never met any more. Like, people on that game are so toxic. They're all like, hiya, hiya.
League of Legends?
I mean, it's pretty bad, too. Pretty bad, too.
Is your game World of Warcraft? Is that
preferably,
shit?
Yes. But unfortunately, Blizzard is kind of just fucking their whole company mm-hmm. right now. And it's just that's just the way it is. But
What's your go-to game, then?
If I'm... For what?
For leisure. I don't know. Just for... You don't have a go-to game?
Well, I have like, there's like different levels. There's levels to it.
Okay. Well, see, I'm only nerd so much.
So it's like if I'm like sweating.
FPS.
Okay. First person shooter, probably Counter-Strike. Simply. Because okay. I feel like Call of Duty's just fucked now. There's just way too much shit going on. It feels like Fast and the Furious 9.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going like with the boys and we're just going to play games for like 2 weeks straight, it's probably World of Warcraft. I just love that game so much. It's so in-depth. And just simple and relaxing. And then if I'm like on a plane playing by myself, it's probably Diablo 2.
Diablo 2.
Yeah.
So you're more tapped into like the MMO, like RPG
yeah.
side of shit.
I really like MMOs. I was just on Hassan's stream yesterday and I like shouted at POE. I don't know if you know Path of Exile. It's like a Diablo 2 clone. And they like all like followed. No, they followed me. Like the POE game. And I was like, yo, get me in the game. And they're like, all right, bet. And so I might be a character in Path of Exile, maybe.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
That'd be super sick.
I saw you're doing a song with Riot. Valorant? Cool.
Yeah. Super sick. Oh,
nice. Do you feel like video games are like your worst, like unhealthy coping mechanism or like...
Vice.
Vice. Like, okay. And I asked, 'cause like a lot of musicians, right, like are really into like drugs, sex, like every day, every weekend. And they kind of go into a hole of like, right, like, yeah, like... Like they're doing a ton of coke. They're doing a ton of, like, do you feel like you've ever fallen there or?
So if you do a bunch of coke, you're just using up your dopamine and serotonin,
mm-hmm.
and like,
which technically, video games is the same shit.
That's my point I'm about to make. Is like, I notice for sure if I'm trying to be creative, I can't be creative after like at least 4 days prior if I played video games. I just can't make anything good. I don't know why. Wow. I'm so much more creative.
You're probably just so drained.
Dude, from yeah. all the... It's super interesting. I wish there was more research done on it because like I really find it very difficult to be creative. I can be like monotonous admin work, but mm-hmm. I cannot do anything creative. Yeah. And during COVID, I struggled really, really brutally because the fuck am I going to do? I'm not going to make like songs for 17 hours straight. Mm-hmm. So I'd just be playing WoW for like 14 hours straight. And I just would try to make a song.
Your brain, bro.
And I would just be like frustrated trying to make music because it wouldn't be good at all. And very interesting because I stopped playing video games when I stopped hooking up with girls to, you know, become a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I definitely was partying like the most I've ever partied for a while. But you guys drink often?
Not anymore.
How was you went to? Was it last night?
It wasn't even I like got drinks with a friend and I had two drinks.
So you're a blackout.
Basically. And then she's like, she texted me and Gabe, hey, you guys up? I'm horny. What's your fucking boyfriend?
Asleep? I texted him first, but he's not there.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? Be loyal by talking to my best friends.
Right. And then you post on your story, it'd be nice to have three boyfriends. That I could rotate on and off. Yeah.
Okay. I don't back you on some of the things for sure.
Well, having a rotation of boyfriends?
Well, no. Just like, I have to put you on the grill. I disagree with a lot of the things
that
you post.
No, yeah, but
it's good.
You guys
it's
are
healthy.
All of my close friends. You guys,
I know.
I'm the problem.
It's like, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm like, do all girls post this on their close friend stories? Is this why all my relationships have failed? It must be.
No, this is the crazy part is this is what they're thinking.
I just say it out loud. It's true.
She posts it.
No, because my girlfriends don't tell me I'm crazy.
Yeah. He's like, yes, queen. No, oh my you God. Tell them.
My girlfriends reply to my shit and they're like, facts. Like, this is so true.
Yeah, oh, hell no. Anyways. Well, yeah, at least we're alive.
Yeah.
No, but see, but the close friends is, for me, my first defense of, like, getting out the toxicity. Like, boom.
Yeah,
and then I go to rid it. Then I go to my boyfriend and I'm like, ah, I'm sorry.
What about a journal? I guess it is essentially kind of.
That's what it is for me. It's like this vent, right? Like, wait, and it's like, and it, to me, it's like I get, because I can get advice from friends, right? Like sometimes, yeah, this guy will be like,
you're a Rosie, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You are a.
And it's like, and it's nice because I hate troubling people with my problems, right? Like, I don't want to go to y'all every single day, like, oh, like, we just got inspired. Like, he said this, and I'm thinking this, like, right? It's like, it's voluntary. It's like, I put it here, and if you have the energy or, like, you care and you want to reply, you get to.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
Which is why I like it as a format.
It's funny.
Yeah.
There's definitely some parts that I've just been like, wow, I don't think I've ever put that much text on one Instagram story in my life, but it's kind of sick.
Yeah. It's crazy how updated it is. Because, like, 1 hour, it's like, oh my God, I love John so much. And then, literally, in the next, it would be a picture of their fight. And I'm like, I was like,
does he know? He knows that you put that stuff up there.
He does.
Yeah.
Because
he's on my close friends sometimes, or he's asked to be on it.
And then that's why you don't post any things with him, and then you revert back to it.
Yeah. I always take him off if I'm making posts about how I love him. Take
people off?
Yeah.
I don't think I have anyone except for meme pages on my close friend story. It was a pro play. What I would do is I would close friends memes of myself, the AO meme pages, you guys want to post this? And they would see it and then post it. Nice. Snapped.
A little marketing.
Yeah, dude.
You're so smart.
I finessed the system, but yeah. Then they just started getting annoyed with me, and they stopped helping me. But, yeah. Sorry, John.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, John. My fault.
Every time I see John, I'm like, bro, give me a hug. You've been through a lot.
Okay.
You've been.
Okay. Yeah. In my defense, I don't put all the, like, every single good stuff either. Like, most of the time, we're happy.
Yeah, yeah. There's no point in ranting about like.
Yeah, so it's like availability bias. Like you just see all the problems because that's the only time I'll post something.
Yeah.
But he's a great partner, and so am I. That's what he puts up with me.
Right. How long have you guys been dating?
4 months now.
Nice.
I know. Are you gonna get married and move to Canada?
4 months.
I support it. If you guys.
You think you would get married with him already? With the exact same, if you were like, you had to make a decision today, and those exact feelings you have for him right now had to withstand until you guys death do your part type thing. Yes.
Like if I had to choose between I marry him or I lose him forever, I'd choose I marry him.
That's great.
I think he'd be a great father and a great husband, a great partner. Like, and yeah, like we have fights, but to me, the most important thing is that we're always able to resolve them in a healthy way. Like we'll fight, and every time we resolve them, I feel like I love him more.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I feel like you guys won't have that same argument again.
Yeah.
How many times are the arguments
reoccur? The same?
And then reoccurring.
Ooh.
So.
We haven't had the same recurring argument for a while.
Why did
now.
You tweet about your pussy again? Why did you tweet about opening your legs again?
Yesterday I replied to one of my friend's tweets. So I have this friend Fudge. He's like a pro league player. He plays for Cloud9. But we have a bit where like he'll like have the most common tweet, and I will reply with the most deranged reply. So my reply actually yesterday was pretty normal. But he had this tweet that was like, I'm bored, what should I do? And I just replied, I was like, have sex with me. Mm. And then, yeah, and like that, my reply ratioed his original tweet, like by double the likes. But anyways, John saw that, and then he just made a joke about it. He didn't get mad at me.
Oh, what did he say?
He was just like.
You should have sex with him.
No. He wasn't even, he was a little sassy, but he was like, Rosie, don't you have such a great boyfriend? You should say, thank you, John, for letting me comment, have sex with me.
That's
and
funny.
And we don't get in a fight. And I replied, I was like, thank you, John, for letting me say, have sex with me, and we don't get in a fight. But yeah, we didn't get in a fight.
I feel like everyone on Twitter is just horny, though.
That's what I'm saying. It's like your tweets, it's actually like cleverly horny. It's not just like, oh, just fuck me, right? It's not like a marketing scheme.
No, it's always a punchline. It's always
right, fun. Exactly. Yeah.
You know what the as people John tells me this all the time, but like I'll make a horny tweet or something, and he's like, "You wanna have sex?" And I'm like, "Nope." He's like, "I'm gonna tell your followers you're fake horny," and I'm like, "Yeah."
You've been to China. Have you looked at a certain dish and was like, "What the fuck?" Was there any culture shocks when you went to China?
Not really. I mean, like culture.
Oh, it was all normal.
Yeah, it was all normal. Yeah, you know what I mean? No, because coming from Vancouver, I have so many Asian friends and Chinese friends that like I just knew a lot about Chinese culture. But I mean, like architecturally, I guess environmentally, super different. But as far as like,
were they racist?
Not because I'm walking in on a very biased perspective of like everyone loves me. Okay, so the predominant like. Assumption of how I like it is people liking me there.
Fair.
I definitely felt like an idiot sometimes when I didn't know how to speak, and people would be like, "Ha ha, clown!" And then I would just say like a couple words, and they
"What's
like,
your baby? No money."
Yeah, sure, fine, pila ma. I love that. It rolls so well off my tongue. But yeah, I've definitely eaten some things where I've been like, "Damn, that shit crazy," but. Like rabbit brain, Chengdu. Like I wouldn't
frogs?
Eat it again.
They got frogs out there.
I've had frogs before. I wasn't, it kind of just tasted like chicken. But rabbit brain is just like mush. It's kind of like really fatty fish.
Yeah.
Like super, just a fat kind of, it's kind of nasty. But it's cool, I guess.
Yeah. So I got a question. What was your top memories touring? What was your most memorable?
I mean, I guess like my first real tour. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went on tour for the first time with Matt, like in
Young Gravy.
Young Gravy. Sorry, in 2018, and you know, it's just like
wait. So that's before you blew up.
He blew up. So that's when I was like as go mode because I had an EP with him and I was like, no one gets this shot. Mm. Like I pretty much went like ape shit after he blew up because I was like, I have to at least give this a shot.
Yeah.
And if I don't give this shot, I'm a fucking clown.
Yeah.
Was he in Vancouver too?
No. He grew up in Minnesota and he just blew up.
So were you touring while going to uni?
Essentially, yes. So I finished. I just had one class to do in the summer, so I did like a dog class in the summer, just to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated the next year, so I was pretty much done in 2018. But I had one class to finish, and I remember this tour. It was like from April. I went on. I did a final in April, and then I flew out the next day to go to Nashville immediately. And I did this tour, and then the day after I got home, the next day was a summer class.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like immediately like summer tour, blacking out pretty much every night, just getting like the party out of me, and then going back home. And I remember like flying home and crying to Black Panther, like profusely crying for no reason, because I was like, why am I going back to class? Like I just had the craziest experience of my entire life. It was insane.
Yeah.
So that was really like the coolest experience. I mean, I don't really remember much of it, in all honesty.
You were blacked out.
It wasn't that much, but it was definitely a lot of drinking and partying and memories and like it was cool because like it felt really real for a minute. And then I went back to school and I was like, holy shit, this is gonna be the end of me.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I finished that, I just like buckled down and started making so much music and just like just dropping it constantly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it worked out kind of in a sense.
I'm curious. Do you feel like being a musician makes it harder to have like a healthy love life or like relationship? Because one, you're busy, and two, like, do you feel like it's harder to like trust people? Like, are people getting close to you for, like, fame or money, etc.?
At this point, you can kind of tell, like, what people's intentions are. I mean, like, I'm a dumbass, but I'm not that much of a dumbass. Right. Like, yes, intimate relationships are very difficult because you essentially have to build, like, a bond of trust via the internet. And that's very difficult because if you don't see someone's mannerisms on, like, how they treat other people and how they interact with, like, their family and whatnot, then you have no idea, like, what type of person they really are. Right. But
I try to get a FaceTime in, like, ASAP, before any dates or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a couple messages.
FaceTiming, I mean, like, at least from my perspective,
yeah.
When you meet someone, or when you e-meet someone, just FaceTime them.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter if it's a girl or a guy. Like, if it's business-related, too, you just get to the point, break the ice, rather than trying to bullshit.
Yeah, because you just get so much more, like, context of, like, who this person is, just from a, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Totally. I mean, like, you told me today, like, all I ever do is call. It's just also way easier to get the point across.
No, it's cute. I like seeing you.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because you always call me when I'm driving. Then I gotta go.
Don't drive. Just get someone to drive for
my
you.
My fault.
You have a Tesla.
It drives itself. Also, it literally drives itself.
My fault.
But yeah, it's definitely difficult. I mean, I wish I could be at home more or something like that, but it's not the case.
Yeah, I'm also curious because I have a lot of friends, like influencers and stuff like that, and like a lot of musicians are in their DMs, right? And they've hooked up with a lot of musicians, and it's like almost a common theme that like they never want to date or like it's never serious with them, and they just like it's just like sex, right? It's just this like.
What, musicians or just influencers?
Both, but like the
musicians. Both. And musicians also just glorify like fucking bitches all the time. Right. When it's really about, you know, it's about emotional connection. It's about fucking.
I mean, do you think that's true? And why do you think that is?
I think if you like someone, you can make it happen. Hmm. People just don't. Like, in this day and age, I feel like there's too much availability of other people. So there's too many options all the time. But I think it's easier to just, if you like someone, just why not? If you guys, I don't know, it's not that, it's very black and white, I mean. It's like, it's easy.
Yeah, that's why I'm marrying John.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, you found your person.
Snap.
Yeah, snap. It's not as easy for the rest of us, though.
Okay. You know. Do you feel like you want to, like, settle down, have a family, and do you feel like that can happen concurrently while you still chase music, or is it kind of one or the other, like you'd have to?
Touring is definitely very difficult. If I were to have a kid, I couldn't tour. There's no way. Because the first like 4 or 5 years of a child's life is like the most important years. So I wouldn't, you know, ideally I would have a partner that would be like incredibly capable of hypothetically doing it by herself if we were in a situation where we're tight for money, perhaps. But I don't think either of those will be the case because I want to just be a stay-at-home dad. Yeah. So
I mean, that makes it like the dream is to like grind right now so that you can.
Yeah.
For real, you want to be working. A stay-at-home dad.
I respect well, you it. Don't, me too.
Yeah, it's
well, you sick. Just do chores.
Make
you just,
food.
That sounds sexy as fuck. That sounds
really
fun.
Like, and then I can just make music when babies sleep.
Fair.
Sounds like a great life. I like.
You get it. Your priorities in the right place.
Yeah, definitely. Like. I've always wanted to just be like a really good dad because I feel like I grew up in a family that, you know, there was obviously like some ups and downs, but I mean, I grew up in a really like loving family. So I just want to do the same for my kid.
I mean, what about you, Jimmy? Do you feel like once you have kids, you're still going to be out and about working, grinding?
Yeah, I gotta go to my son's baseball practices. I need to be there because when I was growing up, you know, my dad always had to work because we were an immigrant family. He had to.
Yeah.
And then even he don't even know how to sign up for fucking classes, right? Because he barely spoke the language. So I knew how much of that I missed and how that impacted me growing up, right? Having a dad who is more absent.
Yeah.
So I feel like, also, I feel like it's just fun, you know, having a kid that you could like chill with, talk to, play sports with. That's just fun. That's just really fun. And then just coach him through shit. Yeah. Like maybe he's genetically lacking a little bit, but no, we gonna work hard, son. We gonna get this practice in. We gonna hit the gym together. Yeah, you might be a twig right now. But no, we gonna hit the weight room together. Uh-huh. And I would like coach him, right? And just see the glow up.
Yeah. No, I have such a deep desire to give my kids like all the things I couldn't have as a kid. Like if they want to like have piano lessons, we can afford that, right? Like swimming lessons, they can afford that. Man, I wish I knew how to swim.
But, you don't know how to swim?
No. We never had access to a pool, and at some point I was just,
like, okay, if you're in a pool, will you sink?
You look
like after you... long enough, yeah, like after like a minute.
You don't even know like a simple freestyle.
I can teach you how to swim. I used to be a competitive swimmer.
Yeah, do you want to teach me how to swim?
Yeah, like, do you guys have a pool here?
You really don't know how to swim?
No,
that's crazy.
Yeah, so if you guys ever got tired of me and wanted to get rid of me,
so like you could throw me, you can drown in like the kiddie pool.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So are you afraid of water?
I'm afraid of the ocean. Yeah, ocean scares.
Well, the ocean's terrifying if you don't know how to swim. Super scary because you will sink to the bottom and die.
Yeah, I do not go into the water. I'm like, no.
I've only met a couple people, and I end up always teaching those people to swim.
Wow, you can take my swimming virginity.
It's gonna be really wet.
No.
Nah. Like a pool.
You're so funny. Okay. Do you know how many kids you want?
Not one.
What? Not, no, yeah.
Yeah, like one will be not fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Two will, like, you know, just like having two pets or two dogs. Like one can, one can like tire each other out. So don't need to do as much. But I think three is the perfect dynamic.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, one will be a dickhead, and then two will become friends. And then there's like there's different sides to the stories every time. Rather than just having one or two where they're just going to fight.
Yeah.
That you get to like almost immediately like gain a sense of companionship and like
also depends on what you get too. It's like, you know, you get the son, then the next one is
The son daughter son. Combo.
Another son. I need to get the daughter. Try again.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. We keep these three sons. What do I do? I keep trying?
I said, oof.
I think I want three kids if my body can handle it, but we'll see.
I feel like I just only associate myself with people that actually I can like. And it's like, it's kind of like the energy you put out there is the energy you're going to get returned. So, I mean, I will, without a dying passion, I will stay clear from the parties in LA because I can't be fucked with. Like, I go there and it is the antithesis of my existence. I like see people trying literally to impress people right in front of these other people. And I'm like, bro, like, this is the lowest level of humanity.
Wow.
I've ever seen in my life. It's like, just be yourself, do your own thing, and you're going to get accoladed for being original rather than like having to like copy other people and to impress other people. For like this weird sense of validation from the so-called facade industry.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my take. People might get mad at me for saying that, but I just like don't care. Like, even through my music, like it's...
How do you make your connections? The ones that you make?
I just reach out to people that I'm like, oh, this person would probably fuck with me because they're goofy. Yeah. And then that's it. Like, I just like... I also don't really know that many people. Like, like Matt is way better at like holding relationships than I am because like honestly like sometimes I'm like I have 700 unread messages. I just don't want to reply to them because I don't necessarily think I need them in my life, not necessarily as a business perspective, but I'm just like I'm at capacity sometimes. And I don't know what about you guys? Like,
that's a good point. At capacity, we were chilling at a party one time and we were like, yo, I just want to be chilling right here with you.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. So that's what I feel like my first year in LA, like, I loved going out. Like, I love meeting new people, blah, blah, blah. And then it took me a while to realize, I think I'm also very, like, trusting, wear my heart on my sleeve, where it's like, people say something, I believe them. And I started having to realize that people were lying. Like, people are saying, like, oh, yeah, I produce for Blackpink or whatever. And, like, things that are just straight up not true, to your point, just to, like, impress or, like, seem like they're a person that they're not, and like get something out of you. And once you stop being valuable to people, they kind of like discard you or forget about you.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people I realize were like that. And now it's like, even if I go out, like if I'm going to a birthday party or whatever, like I am only hanging out with the people I already know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Jimmy and I, like even, like I hosted a party at my place and I didn't talk to anyone that came except the people I knew. I sat down with Jimmy.
It's just more comfortable.
Something that always freaks me out is like you unfollow someone and like it's someone like I'm mutual with, I've never even met in person and we just don't interact. And you unfollow them the next day, they're messaging you like,
really?
Yeah.
You get people messaging you?
Yeah, they message me and they're like, did I do something? Like, why'd you unfollow me? And I'm like, we just never talked. And then they block me.
I would unfollow 100% a person that I don't really speak to and like,
right.
Honestly, if their content is just like annoying me and I'm like, okay, I really just don't want to see it. If their content is like, I go on Instagram and I see it and I'm like, I want to get off Instagram, then I unfollow them.
I do that. If your Twitter content sucks and I don't want it on my timeline, like I have so many friends that like mute, like, oh, just mute. But I'm like, if I don't want to see, I'm just going to unfollow. It's not that serious.
Yeah, exactly. But I would definitely unfollow a girl, like an ex-girlfriend for sure. Like if you break up, I just like, I have no intentions. Like it's not like. Usually I'm just like, hey, like I'm just gonna do this for myself because I don't really have any intentions to see you, so there's no reminding XYZ. So
last questions, thoughts, you have questions for us?
I think I know you guys pretty well now, honestly.
Right, hanging out, talking. Yeah, for...
I mean that drive home,
yeah,
was yeah, like was, you know what you guys should do, you guys should do a session in a car.
We should, huh? You guys seen this recent podcast that like blew up?
The Bobby one?
Yeah, yeah, the one who was just chilling in bed with Drake.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a fired concept.
I've told you this before. You literally during skate. Yeah, I was like when we were shooting the shit in bed at the ski trip.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a cool concept. Like,
oh, you did, you did, you did.
Well, the reason why it's really good is she's really, really awkward. Yeah. That's why it's good.
True.
So it like really just gets the awkwardness out of the other person, and the other person tries the whole conversation, but she just like denies it.
But Drake is actually so funny too. Like,
yeah,
well, he's an actor. Yeah, like, he knows what he's doing for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually with Hassan yesterday and Matt, and we were watching how she became popular, and she was just like a mom TikToker, and then had a kid, and supposedly has like a lopsided boob or something, and then I guess like. Her neighbor was like a very successful actor or something, and then Drake reached out or some shit. I'm almost like,
Drake reached out.
What a lift! Like, yeah, I don't know. That from my knowledge, it just seems like Drake just reached out and was just like, fuck it, let's do it. Isn't that crazy?
Wow,
that's fire.
I don't know. She must know a bunch of people too, but
yeah, that's wild.
Fire.
All right, so
well, I'm pretty much just like,
we can go right now. Yeah, let's get in bed.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to the Down Bad Podcast. Yeah. We're all down bad as fuck.
Yeah, we are.
Make sure to subscribe to Patreon and give these people a bunch of money.
Or it's just downbad.show.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.